Support for this podcast and the following message come from Dignity Memorial. When your celebration of life is prepaid today, your family is protected tomorrow. Planning ahead is truly one of the best gifts you can give your family. For additional information, visit dignitymemorial.com.
Hi, I'm Jonas from Seattle. The Sound of Young America is an independent production supported by listeners like you and me. If you'd like to donate to support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Live on tape from my house in Los Angeles, I'm Jesse Thorne, and this is The Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org.
Radio sweetheart, on the airways, it's the sound of young America. Maximum Fun. Maximum Fun. Maximum Fun.
Welcome to The Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest on the program this week, one of the biggest stars, well, probably the biggest star we've ever had on the show, and certainly the biggest porcine star. You might have seen her on The Muppet Show in her many movies or television guest appearances. Now she's got a brand new book called The Diva Code. It's the one, the only, the legendary Miss Piggy. Miss Piggy, welcome to The Sound of Young America. It's so great to have you.
Yes, hello, hello. We were going to say the 10,001 things frogs and men do, but, you know, we thought that might be a little, well, I don't know, trite.
A little over the top, maybe?
Yes, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the very beginning of your career. When did you decide that you wanted to become a star?
I believe it was minute one of day one. And that was really half of it right there, just making that decision. And then the rest was very easy, actually. I just had to wait for the proper time. I had to wait for that moment when the public was ready for moi.
It sounds like from what I've read that you had, you know, I'm no Barbara Walters, but it sounds like you had a little bit of a difficult childhood.
No, you are no Barbara Walters, that's for sure. Your voice is much lower, first of all. And, no, but I did have a difficult childhood. It's true. I don't really like to talk about it much. I lost my father at a very young age. And, in a farming accident, there was a tractor involved. I really don't like to talk about it in interviews, though. So let's just fast forward to when I'm famous, okay?
Okay, sure. You know, you bet. Your big break, and actually the first time that you met Kermit the Frog was at a beauty contest. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, the Bogan County beauty contest. I was Miss Bogan County of 1976, and I could have cared less about the crown that was being placed on my head, because from across the crowd, I could see Kermit. Yes, and it was love at first sight.
It's unusual, I think, that, I mean, I don't think I'm speaking out of school to say, I think it's unusual for a pig to have those kinds of feelings about a frog. Did it seem...
Well, I didn't know he was a frog at first.
Oh,
no, I just thought he ate something that didn't agree with him. I wasn't really sure.
Oh.
but it didn't matter to me because I saw his inner beauty, and he saw my outer beauty, and we've just been in love since.
Now, you started on The Muppet Show in a much less prominent role than you ended up having.
Yes.
Did you go into that experience thinking that you were going to be more than just a chorus girl?
I had it all planned out. I knew what was going to happen. I knew that that number was going to make moi a star. And it did. It did. I can't remember what the number was, but... but I was in the back. I was just a chorus girl. And I just, you know, at the right moment, it's all about timing, you see.
What was your goal in becoming a star? What did you want?
To be famous and make lots of money.
Right.
I mean, what other... I mean, what else is there?
Did you have artistic goals?
No, I can't really think of any myself.
Sure. Right. Do you have, like, proudest moments in your career? Were there, well, I mean, obviously from an outsider's perspective, it's all been sort of one long high point. But from your perspective, were there particular high points?
You know, this is one thing I'm very proud of. I have helped launch the careers of so many other celebrities. You know, like...
For example,
you know, we did like 121 shows. So, I mean, there's like a list of 121 celebrities. But I'm Brooke Shields. Let's see. Elton John. You know, you name it. Name a star. I probably made them a star.
Sure. I mean, I guess maybe you could say... like a Candice Bergen, for example.
Yes.
What do you enjoy most about being a performer?
I don't know. I think making people happy, and you know, by signing my autograph, and you know, taking pictures with them. Not too many pictures, you know, just, you know, certain, and not on my way to the trailer. But, you know, in between takes, I think those are, I just like to make my fans happy.
Sure. I can certainly understand that. Let's talk a little bit about, one of the great motivating factors of your life, which mm-hmm. has been your relationship with, Kermit the Frog.
Yes.
You described that first moment meeting Kermit. But it doesn't seem like the fireworks were mutual, at least right away, if I'm not mistaken.
You're mistaken.
Oh,
you must not have been there. You must not have seen the movie. Do you even know who I am? And Kermit the Frog? Do you really? You didn't do your research, did you?
No, I thought.
Well, there's that whole number on. Never Before, Never Again?
Uh-huh.
In the movie?
Sure.
You know, that is... I mean, we didn't actually break out in song in real life, but that was the emotional chord that was running through both of us.
It seems like, again, from my outsider's perspective, it does seem a little bit like your feelings for him mm-hmm. are obviously very strong.
Yes. I know what you're getting at. I am, as a woman, I am just naturally more demonstrative than he.
Sure.
And, you know, he likes to bottle up his feelings inside. And, you know, it's up to me to uncork the little buster and get that out of him. And sometimes it takes a little, you know, a little physical force to pop that cork. But, you know, sometimes a trip to the hospital, but eventually it comes out in strange ways sometimes, but, you know, that's men for you.
Do you think that it's unusual, that physical force element of it is unusual compared to other people whose relationships you might have heard about?
I think it's quite common, actually. You know, and that is why I wrote this book. The Diva Code, because, you know, there's men, let's just face it, are stupid. Okay, you're a man.
Yeah.
Okay, right? You're stupid, right?
I've already gotten a few things wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And so it is up to moi, I feel, to share my knowledge and my infinite wisdom about men and frogs, with all the other women out there who are just trying so desperately to lift these men up to a place where they can have a meaningful conversation, a meaningful relationship.
Sure. You've often used, we were talking about physical force, you've often used martial arts in your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that...
It's very effective.
More women should learn to use martial arts?
Absolutely. You know, and it shouldn't just be seen as a matter of self-defense. You know, you can get a lot of things with an old karate chop to the right body part and the right timing, you know, right when they're not looking.
Right.
That's when you go for it. Right in the gut.
Can you think of a time when that really helped you out? I mean, it seems like it could be counterproductive.
Well, no, I've never really had that problem. I've always gotten what I want.
Sure.
And that's the way I've gotten it. So I don't, you know, you can't argue with that. Can't argue with success.
It's the Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest on the program is everyone's favorite entertaining pig, Miss Piggy. Her brand new book is called The Diva Code.
I want to ask you a little bit about helping other people, because I know that that's the reason that you wrote this book. Let's start by talking a little bit about relationships. Much of your notoriety has come from seeking love. What about for women who aren't already in a relationship, but would like to have your skill in meeting and building relationships with men?
You have to catch his eye, first of all. And I think the best way to do that is to, you know, is to dress appropriately. And by that, I mean, if it's expensive, it fits. Don't worry about, you know, whether they have your size or not. Just look at the price tag.
Okay. I mean, I hear that. You know, you've been already in show business for more than 30 years. How do you still look so great?
Well, I take care of myself. I have a personal trainer who works out for me every day. And I'm constantly on diets. Right now I'm on the rich food diet.
Uh-huh.
This is the one where you can eat anything you want as long as somebody rich pays for it.
Right. Sure.
But it's true, yes, you do have to take care of yourself.
What do you think are the key elements of the diva lifestyle outside of relationships? Or at least romantic relationships. What do you think marks a diva rather than just any old lady walking down the street?
Well, divas, and I think I can call myself one. I think that's one of the things. Divas can call themselves divas, and do. But they're constantly making outrageous demands. You know, the kinds of outrageous demands that, well, that a teamster might make, actually. There's quite a lot in common between divas and teamsters. Only we've got much better clothes. Much better clothes. And we don't have the smell that teamsters have. And, you know, I take that back. We're nothing alike. Yeah. Sorry, that was just a bad analogy. Sorry.
It was a bit of a canard.
Yes. Whatever.
What was your proudest diva moment in your entire career?
I believe it's when I refused to get out of my trailer for, I think it was 3.5 months. I would not come to set.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to order takeout for all those 3.5 months. And eventually that's what did it for me. You know, nobody came in to clean up. And it really started to stink.
Right.
And so I eventually did have to get out of there and report to set.
Well, Miss Piggy, I thank you so much for taking the time out of your exceptionally busy schedule to be on The Sound of Young America. It was really great to have you. Miss Piggy is the author of The Diva Code, Miss Piggy on Life, Love, and the 10,000 Idiotic Things That Frogs Do. Oh, they also apply to men. She's also an international screen superstar. Thanks again. That's the end of another spectacular Sound of Young America program. I have been your host, Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. The show produced by Speaking Into Microphones, our theme music written and performed by Dan Grayson with help from myself. Interstitial music provided by Dan Wally. The show edited by Nick White. Our intern is
Brian.
Say your last name.
Fernandez.
Okay, Brian Fernandez. You can find us online at MaximumFun.org, and you can always email me directly at Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, at MaximumFun.org. We'll see you next time on The Sound of Young America.
Production of The Sound of Young America is supported in part by Ask Metafilter. Thousands of life's little questions answered. Online at ask.metafilter.com.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.